Once again, a very good morning to each and every one of you. The passage that we just read is a very familiar passage to many of us. Probably we have some of us would have recalled the days that we were in Sunday school, even reading the passage, or even acting as wise men or magi during that particular time. It's a wonderful passage, and I think we do see that God always has certain things to reveal to us when this incident took place. Let's pray and ask God to help us as we spend some time looking at God's Word. Father, we thank you for your Word today. We pray, God, even in this season, oh God, we pray that we will give all our attention, oh God, to your birth. You came, oh God, not only to love us, but also, Lord, to be with us. Help us, oh Lord, to be true seekers of you. And help us, oh Lord, to live a life for Jesus alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The story of the wise men is a very interesting story. I think if whenever you see a nativity scene, you will tend to see a lot of things. And together with that, you will see wise men or a magi, as some call it. You know, it completes the entire picture. You know, sometimes I ask myself, you know, we talk about wise men. Some say it might be three wise men because of the three gifts. And some say that it could be more wise men. You know, at times I, you know, ask myself, what would be like if it was not wise men, but wise women who came? Can you imagine if it was wise women who came? Probably, I think the scripture would have been slightly different, right? Maybe if women were there, they would have asked for directions before they arrived in Jerusalem. They would have prepared, you know, how to come to this particular place. They would have arrived on time, right? Why? Because to help deliver the baby. If it was wise women, probably they would have come, cleaned the stable, right? Made some casserole or some bring some cookies, diapers, and maybe baby wipes. Probably it would be a different scene altogether. But we also thank God because I think God in his own ways is, you know, wanting us to read this particular passage from these magi who were just looking for the signs of the times. So when I look at this particular passage, I tend to ask myself, you know, what is God trying to teach us? What is God wanting us to learn about him? It's not something that took place in history, my friend. But if anything that appears in Scripture, God always has a plan to teach us something. What is he trying to teach about him? What is he trying to teach us, you know, as to how, you know, we should be living a life for him? And what is he trying to teach us about the Spirit that continues to guide us in our journey? Christmas is not just a season that talks about God coming into this world, but I think it is more. Right, God is want us to learn from this particular passage. For the first thing, and I think all of us are familiar, you know, the wise men coming with their gifts, and they were so excited after a long journey, probably a couple of months, right? It was a difficult journey, leaving their families behind, they're searching, looking at the star, and then ensuring that they are following the star. And finally, they came to this place, the house Herod. And as we know, I think Herod is consulting the religious leaders. And they knew pretty well, because they knew scriptures pretty well, and they said where Christ is to be born, or the Messiah is to be born. And finally, they leave the place, they see the baby. For a moment, I asked my son, were they shocked? Right? Because they've left everything. They were wise men, you know, and they were rich too. And they came and they saw Jesus in a stable. Were they taken aback? Could they said, you know, did we follow the right star? Is it the right child? No, I think, whatever it is, you know, I'm here to worship God. And they worshipped and they left by another route altogether. Three lessons I thought, there are so many lessons we can draw from this particular passage. But I thought it would be helpful for us to narrow it down to three. The first thing, you know, I looked at the passage in Matthew chapter 2. You know, they come. The Magi comes, and from the east, They came to Jerusalem and they said, "Where is he? Or where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." The first thing that I see in this particular passage, or comes, you know, every time I see, I see God's love for all humanity. If you look at passages very carefully, the Jews thought, you know, the Messiah is only for them. Christ is only for the Jews, not for any other people. And that's the way the Jews thought. Even the early church was not happy when the disciples were going, when Paul was, you know, going to the Gentiles and bringing God's word to them, because they thought the Messiah belongs to us. He came for us alone. And this gospel of good news is only for us. It's more of a restrictive kind of a gospel. But it teaches us, very frankly, you know, this passage teaches us, God's love reaches every person who's even far away from him, or in terms of, you know, the race, and then God's love reaches everyone. And they were not ordinary people. They were just, you know, they were Gentiles. They were not Jews. But God had a plan to reach these people, for them, for him, for them to know Christ and to come to him. So Scripture reminds us, right, in many passages we read that, you know, we read, and this is a very familiar passage, we say, "For God so loved the world." The Greek word for world is cosmos, you know, the entire world, that God loves each and every person, my friend. I think that's what, you know, Scripture is reminding us, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal or everlasting life. There are numerous passages where the Jews thought Jesus or the Messiah is for them alone. There are other passages, I think Paul writes to the young minister in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, he said, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Right? And Paul also says that he was the worst one of them. Right? And then Ezekiel in the Old Testament, the Lord says, "For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God." And, you know, if you go on, there are many passages, right? Even Peter writes, he says, "Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance," my friend. So the story of the wise man, it's not just bringing gifts to God. It's not just searching for God alone. But it teaches us something great about God, that God's love, or God makes every effort to reach everyone for him, my friend. And I think it's what the Lord wants us to know, and also to have a heart also, right? As believers, it's important for us to have that kingdom mindset of reaching others, right? As reaching and bringing the gospel, because the gospel is an evangelistic gospel. It's not like any other ism where it is within believers or those who embrace this particular faith. But our gospel is an evangelistic gospel. It is not tied down to the church alone. We are called to bring the word to everyone. And so I see the love of God here. It's revealed the Gentiles were coming, searching, because, you know, they were also searching for the truth, and the truth was revealed to them. Secondly, when I look at the passage, I also learn another thing about what God is wanting us to do. Not only his love is seen, but we also see that God wants us to seek him with all our heart, my friend. Today, many of us, you know, right, including myself, we have a knowledge about God. We can quote scriptures pretty well. Right, we can say what Jesus did, the miracles that Jesus did, or even the parables that, you know, Jesus said. But I think God wants us not only to have a knowledge about him, but to seek him. The priests or the rabbis on those days, when King Herod asked them, they knew pretty well, right, where and how the Messiah is to be born. They had a good knowledge about the prophecies, but their relationship with God was far, my friend. I think that's one of the temptations that we face as Christians today, right? We know about God. We know about scriptures pretty well by heart. We can quote scripture passages, right? We know how scripture looks at certain issues or things that we face in life. But I think it's not just to, you know, have a knowledge about scripture, but do we really seek the way these people were seeking? You know, one of the things that I see, you know, seeking God, you know, three factors I see. Firstly, they were following the star. Look at the passage, right? They say, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw the star. You know, they were, for a couple of months, they were just looking at the star. They saw it is something strange. And scriptures have said about this particular star. And it says they were just following. Look at the passage very carefully. They were always following the star. Their eyes were not taken away from the star, my friend. In other words, I think they were not losing focus, right? They were seeking the star at every point of their journey. It's not about knowledge. It's wonderful to have knowledge, wonderful to have scriptural knowledge. But am I seeking Christ? I think that's important. No, because I believe the star was leading them to rough terrains and all that. But they did not lose focus. The star was just guiding them. And it is an important lesson for each and every one of us, right? When they started, there was the hunger. They could have said, you know, I've seen the star. I'm just satisfied. I know Jesus. I'm satisfied with that. I know the scriptures. I'm just satisfied. They could have said, I've seen, finally, whatever I've studied, I've seen. But no, my friend, they left. They were willing to let go their comforts. They were willing to let go. Things were much more closer to them because they wanted to be seekers of God, seekers of the truth. And they were just following the star. And that became their guide. That's the first factor that I see. Secondly, I see, even though they have less access to the scriptures, remember they were Gentiles, right? They were pagans. They did not have the Jewish scriptures with them, but they had little access because, you know, when you look at historical studies, you realize in this particular Babylon, people like Daniel was there, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego was there. So they were Jews and they were popular people and they know scriptures pretty well. Probably there were some writings. Even Ezekiel penned his writings in Babylon. Even some of the Psalms were also written in Babylon. In other words, there were bits and pieces of Jewish scriptures. But even then, they could have said, you know, these scriptures belong to them. But they studied. You know, today, we have access to the Word of God, almost everything. We don't have bits and pieces, my friend. We have everything. We have, you know, not only scriptures, we have commentaries. We have Bible dictionaries. There are so many apps, so many writings, so many volumes of books easily accessible to us. But this Gentile Magi had little pieces here and there. But what was happening? The bits and pieces they knew about scripture was just guiding them through. And I think this is important for us. Do we seek God, you know, through, do we look at the things that's happening in the world, in our walk with God, everything from the lenses of scripture? Do we decide on things from the lenses of scripture, my friend? You know, they use scripture with a limited access they had to search for the Messiah. Today, God has given to us His Word. And Word of God speaks to us, guides us. Is God's Word a guide, a path to our life? I think that's important for us. So do we seek Him with all our heart? Wonderful to have a knowledge about God, but do we seek Him? Seek His will, seek His guidance, seek what He wants us to do in our lives. And lastly, when I look at this particular thing in terms of seeking, they were not curious alone. They were seekers of God. What did they do? They came. And I was just trying to imagine for a moment when I was reading this particular passage. you know, they were scholars, right? They were learned people, and they were also rich, I believe, because of the gifts they brought along with them. Can you imagine? They would have told themselves, you know, we are going to see the Messiah, right? The Messiah is going to be born, and he's born, and that's a wonderful experience. Probably, you know, if you and I were there, you know, we would have anticipated something, a nicer place to see the Messiah. Not a stable, right? And also it's a rented place where you don't expect. So for a moment, I was just trying to imagine if I were there in this, you know, travel, if I see a Messiah in that state, how would I respond? Right? Would I say, you know, Lord, I couldn't imagine that you came and you were born in this stable. I was expecting something greater. Something maybe much more nicer. I think that's what God is teaching us today. Right? Remember, scripture was saying, Jesus said, you know, I was sick, you did not visit me. I was in need, that you are not there for me. I think God comes to us in a different form, my friend. And I was poor, right? And you did not see to my needs. I'm not saying that God would disguise himself, you know, and come in that form. But I think, do we see Christ? Right? Do we see the needs of others? Because what we do to the little ones, to the needy, we are doing it for God. And I believe, you know, they were so excited because the passage says when they saw the star, they were so excited. They came. They bowed down. They gave. They gave their best. They did not withhold because I'm not so sure whether this is the Messiah. But they gave. And they left, my friend. I think today God wants us to seek him. And I believe God is he reveals himself through other things, my friend. You know, do we see Christ in the people who are in need, who are struggling? Yeah, they need Christ too. Those who are suffering and those in pain, my friend. Do we see Christ amongst them too? And so I think we are called not only to seek Christ through Scripture, not only seeking him, right, and at the same time, you know, trying to be visible, trying to be there for people who are in need and showing the love of God that people need today, my friend. And secondly, so I read this. You know, it's a wonderful thing. But what was happening when you look at the passage very carefully, the religious leaders, they were disturbed, they were troubled, right? They knew the scriptures pretty well, but they were troubled because their heart was not to seek. But whereas this man, they wanted to seek, and they wanted to seek fully. Thirdly, you know, I want to finish with this. Thirdly, you know, they could have said, you know, our job is done. We came. It was a nice trip, worthwhile. We have given our offerings or we have given our gifts, okay? That's it. Let's go back home, right? That could have been a natural response by them. We have done our duty. We have done a Christian duty. Whatever God expected us, we have done. And so we will go. I think that's not the way. I see this particular passage is teaching us another thing, my friend. I think we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading, a constant leading of the Holy Spirit. Look at the passage, right? They were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. They returned to their country by another route altogether. They were warned in a dream. In other words, they could have said, you know, I've done. I've seen the Messiah. I've given my gifts. I've given my gifts, right? I have done my responsibility. I've come to my church. I've fellowshiped. You know, it's back to normal now. Christian life, it's a different life altogether. We always to be sensitive to this Holy Spirit's leading and they were led. In other words, you know, they were, their hearts were open, right? I believe they were saying, Lord, speak to us. As you led us through the storm, continue to speak to us. Continue to show us the way and help us, Lord, to look at you, because you are the author and finisher of their faith. Two things that I particularly see in this third point, right? They went another way. You know, it's interesting. When we look at Christ, God always leads us another way, right? When I look at it from a very spiritual point of view, because His ways are different. His ways are much more greater, my friend. So I see, you know, God, they could have said, you know, let's go back a familiar road, right? When we drive, when we go back, you know, we want to go back the familiar road because we are used to it. But they went another route altogether. When we meet Christ, there's always a change that's happening in our life, my friend. If anyone is in Christ, as Paul said, is a new creature, right? Our lives will be different. Our lives will be transformed. The way we look at things will be different before we knew Christ altogether. The things that we decide, our choices will be different because we have encountered Christ. We have seen Him. We have met Him. It's not the old flesh, as Paul said, right? When we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit, right? If we are transformed, we are led by the Spirit of God. We need to be keeping in step with the Spirit. Scripture tells us not only they were warned, right, but they took another route altogether. They were guided by the Spirit. So seeking Christ, you know, does not just end because I knew Christ, I'm baptized, you know, I've come to church, I've given my offerings, I've done my responsibilities. But throughout the week, constantly been sensitive where the Spirit of God is leading me. That's what I see from this particular passage, that God is always speaking to us. But whether we want to be sensitive to His prompting. Even when we leave this particular place, my friend, I believe God, you know, wants to lead us in our life in a different path altogether. Let me share a story with you. I do not know whether you know, this story might be in line, but when I was reading this story, you know, it talks to me about the love of God. It's about a legend, you know, that took place in Persia. It's a story that's told in Persia. It's about a wise and a good king, and he loved his people so much. So he wanted to know their lives, how they lived, you know, in that part of the world during that particular time. He wanted to know their joys. At the same time, he wanted to know their hardships too. So once he dressed himself, you know, with the clothes of a working man, or maybe looking like a beggar, so he went to the homes, and finally he came to the home of a poor man. And no one knew that he was a ruler, because he disguised himself, you know, to that extent that no one knew that he is the ruler who has come. So when he came to this old man was more than willing to share his food with him, right? He had something and he was willing to share with this beggar, thinking that this guy is much more poorer than me. And he gave him food and had some good conversation and even gave him some kind words to this ruler who was disguised as a poor man. After some time, this king, you know, said, you know, I'm not a beggar. You know, I'm the king. And I have left the place, my palace, to come and to know your hardship. So this king asked him, you know, you've been so good to me. Even though you're a poor man, but you're willing to share your food with me. Tell me, what do you need? I'll bless you. Just name it. Right, name it. And to surprise, This poor man asked something totally different. He said, and let me read his words. He said, "You left your palace and your glory to visit me in this dark, dreary place. You ate the coarse food I ate. You brought gladness to my heart. To others, you have given your rich gifts. But to me, you have given yourself." To others, you gave rich gifts. But to me, you gave yourself. When I was reading this particular story, I was telling myself, not only God has given Himself to us, He has given His gifts to us. He has given His Holy Spirit to us, my friend, whether we want to receive and to live a life for that. And today we know God loves us. And God's love is not only for us, right? God's love is for everyone. So it's important for us to have that kind of lenses to see the world the way God would see the world, my friend. And I think we need to be not just curious about Christianity, curious about Christian life, not just knowing about Christ, but seeking Him with all our heart, right? Constantly asking God to show us the path. And lastly, being sensitive to the Spirit. And thank God He's with us. Thank God for His gift of the Holy Spirit that's leading us. Are we sensitive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit today? I believe that's what I draw from this particular passage. And I believe as you further read on this particular passage, you know, God will continue to enlighten us and we will draw much more strength from God's Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, that we have access to Your Word. Your Word is so powerful, O God. We pray, God, that You'll continually speak to us as we read Your Word each and every day of our life, Father. That in every passage, O God, we will see and acknowledge that this God loves not only us, but our neighbors, our friends, the people of God that we see each and every moment, Father. Lord, help us to find an opportunity, O God, to share that love of Jesus to those around us. We thank You for the wise men of God. Nothing could stop them. They could have easily said, "Oh Lord, this God is a Jewish God. It belongs to the Jews." But they were willing to leave their comfort zones, O God, in search of You. Father, we pray, God, that we will have that kind of heart, O God, to seek You with all our heart, soul, and mind, just to obey You. And we thank You for Your Word that leads us. We thank You for the Spirit of God that is in us, Father. Help us a lot to always be asking, "Lord, what should I do next? What is Your will, O God? Where You want me to go?" We thank You for Your Word. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.